So what's going on in these vineyards? We've got these vines in these vineyards, but this is not about those vines. This is an analogy. For what we're talking about here is a life lived that produces good fruit for eternal life. So you got the landowner, and you got the tenants. The landowner is, this is God. The tenants are those entrusted with the vineyard. And he's talking, well, by the way, what's the first question we should ask? Who is Jesus talking to in this parable? Did you notice? Not exactly. I mean, there's a specific audience. Not in general. He's not speaking to the Jewish people in general. He's telling them this is going to be taken away from you and given to others. But he's not speaking to the Jewish people in general. He is specifically speaking to the chief priests and elders of the people. The religious elites, the chief priests, as you know, and the Pharisees are often the culprits here as far as not really living the way God's asking, which should give every priest and bishop and all of us who are, you know, anyone in leadership in the church, a little bit more of a warning than everybody else, though we can all take a warning from this. He's talking to the chief priests and the elders, and he is calling them out and saying, you are the tenants. You've been entrusted with the vineyard of the Lord. God is he's the owner of the vineyard. You're in charge of it. He gave it to you to produce good fruit, and you're not doing it. Because of that, other people are going to take charge of this vineyard. But he says more than that. He says, first, he sends these servants to his vineyard to obtain the produce. And then he sends his son. First, they beat and stone and kill these servants. Do you know who these servants are? They're the prophets. Most of the prophets got mistreated. And most of them were hunted by kings or queens or the religious elite. Many of them were actually killed. And then, of course, he sent his son, which, of course, this Jesus is speaking of himself. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, they will respect my son. Obviously, this is a parable. God wasn't surprised. Jesus wasn't surprised. The Father wasn't surprised when the crucifixion happened. But Jesus is talking about how he, too, is going to be rejected by the leaders, by the religious elite. Not all of the religious elite were bad. We actually know that Jesus was buried in the tomb of one of the members of the Sanhedrin. There were good men, there were righteous men and women who were high up, but most of them didn't have any faith in him, did not have any faith in Jesus. And then you hear Jesus actually saying, well, in a sense, why is this good news? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was a prophecy from Isaiah. And what's interesting about this, Jesus is saying, I'm the stone that's rejected by the builders. I'm going to become the cornerstone. Because he's identifying himself as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But what's interesting about Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but who's been to Jerusalem? Anybody? To Jerusalem? He's actually taken outside the vineyard and killed. That means he's actually taken outside the city, right outside Jerusalem, and killed. And where Jesus was crucified used to be a quarry. 2,000 years ago, it was a quarry. And so they took away all the stone that was good. They quarried it away, and they used it for buildings and paved streets and whatever. And what wasn't good, the stone that was rejected for use on any building was left. And that's what Calvary was these leftover stones that were supposedly not good for building anything. It wasn't really a hill so much as like, I guess it's a little bit of a hill, but it's like a rocky, you know, kind of a little prominence out of rocks, and the rest of them have been kind of taken away around it, and it kind of stands above the rest, but not really that high. It's not some massive hill. These stones were left. And that's where he was crucified. The stone rejected by the builders. And as we see about this in our own lives and say, oh gosh, I don't, it's, we take it as a warning. Like, I don't want to reject who Jesus is. I don't want to reject what he's doing in my life. We have to understand that this warning is given to us precisely because God wants to choose us. He does, has chosen, and does choose us. And he wants us to choose him. We read in this about how they think that if they kill the son, they're going to get the inheritance, which is so ironic because it's precisely in receiving the son, receiving Jesus, that we become co-heirs with Christ and receive everything that's his, it's ours. This invitation to receive Jesus, though he was rejected by the chief builders, to come to faith in Jesus, is such good news, because we see in the second reading, St. Paul reads St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, "Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, make your petition known to God. Does anyone have any anxiety about anything? I mean, raise your hand if you do. Some of you don't, that's okay, you don't have to. How are you going to receive peace? Maybe you should worry about it for a while. It's super effective. Maybe you should watch mindfulness videos on YouTube. I still get those, like, how do you sleep videos on YouTube? I don't know what that says about. How do they know that I don't fall asleep easily? It's creepy. Maybe you should, like, exercise more and do some more self-care days. You're not laughing at that. That's okay, I guess. I thought it was funny. That doesn't bring peace. Taking care of yourself doesn't bring peace. You can't. It's just self-reliance. I'm not saying you shouldn't rest and that you shouldn't, in a sense, like, make space for that. But self-care is stupid. If you're going to take a day of rest, you need to let the Lord care for you. That's what he's saying. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety, but make your request known to God, and then you will have peace. We need to allow the Lord to take care of us. We need to allow him to actually have what we're worried about. It's impossible to do that if you don't pray first. So I'm going to hit again on Padre Pio's quote. What are the three things? Awesome, I don't even have to preach, I don't even know why I'm here. Pray and hope and don't worry, and you can't do it in reverse order. I just need to get rid of my anxiety. You know what? God's not a therapy tool. God's personal. And our relationship with him, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and in our life in a personal way and say, I trust that you love me and that you've chosen me. I acknowledge that you can do everything you say you can do, I believe. The way that you say that you love me, I believe you do. And now, Lord, I'm asking you to do maybe some things for me. I'm really worried about this. I'm really worried about that person. I'm really worried about my friend. And you know, sometimes it takes a whole rosary, or at least that. Maybe more than a couple of seconds. A shotgun prayer, you know, a couple seconds long. It's good. But we may need to persevere in prayer a little bit. Offer a rosary. Spend some time sitting in the chapel or in the Lord's presence somehow, maybe wherever you can, in your own room. This time of year, some of us in our deer stands. And really come before the Lord and say, can you please speak to me about this? And listen. And he will. Because he does love you the way that he says. And you do belong to him the way that he says, and he does belong to you the way that he says. God's will for us is peace. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, self-control. And I always say one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but those are his will for us. That's what he wants. Those come as a byproduct of our relationship with him. They come when we live in communion with Jesus. When we're not keeping him at a distance, or trying to kind of take things for ourselves and then say, oh Lord, please help me feel better. But when we're saying, no Lord, I trust you. I trust in your love for me. And I love you. I want to be in a relationship with you. And then, in the context of that trust, that's a relationship. If you don't trust somebody, there's not really a relationship there. But in the context of our trust in Jesus, there's a relationship. And there's an opportunity to say, I need to bring you these anxieties. And can you take care of this? And if you've never entrusted to the Lord a single anxiety, if you've never, I don't want to say test, we're not trying to put the Lord to the test. But I think sometimes, maybe for some of you, you've never even given him an opportunity to prove his love for you. Because you've never prayed a prayer very explicitly entrusting some anxiety or care to him. So I just want to invite everyone right now to call to mind one thing that you are anxious about, that you would love God's help with, that you would love Jesus himself to take care of with you. So think about that. What is that? Who is that? And then I'm going to lead us in this prayer. You can just pray along with me silently. But I want to know what the Lord does. And people need to hear about it if the Lord does something. You know, every so often, he shows up and he does something in our lives. But we might have to persevere in prayer for just a minute or two. And by a minute or two, I mean a week or two or a month or two or something like that. Not a minute, but we might have to persevere in prayer for a little bit. But it gives him a chance to prove his love to you in a very concrete way. And honestly, we all need this. As much as you want to say, oh, I can believe in God without an answered prayer, I don't know. Why would you want to? Our trust in him deepens when we really take the time. So, what is your petition? Hold on, I got to think of mine. So let's entrust these to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I give you this petition that I'm anxious about, and I entrust this person to you, or these people to you, this situation, Jesus, I entrust it to you. I believe that you love me. I believe that you want to take care of this in my life. And I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do as my part in answering this prayer. But I can't do it without you. Jesus, thank you for the way that you were going to take care of me and those that I love. Thank you for the way that you're going to answer this prayer.